Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each listener today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
How do you answer a person when he or she says, "My life is over. It's all downhill from here"? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as you opened the eyes of the blind man who you saw sitting beside the road, please open our eyes. Help us to understand that even if we have great vision from a physical point of view, we can be dead, blind people walking around. So open our eyes that we may see ourselves, then open our eyes that we may see your love, your grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 18. Jesus has just healed a blind beggar, and the people are having real trouble deciding who actually did it, or if it had ever been done. Here then we hear the word. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." And a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give God glory," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." And the blind man replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, when bad things happen to us, it is easy for us to become depressed. We adopt an attitude something like this: from now on, it's all downhill for me. I think we can understand that because perhaps all of us have been in that situation one time or another. As we grow older, the body moves more slowly. The athlete who could run up and down the field now is retired. I met one the other day. During the course of our conversation, he said, "Do you know that I played football for Bud Wilkinson at the University of Oklahoma? I played both offense and defense. But today, I couldn't even walk the length of the field. He was sort of giving this attitude, it's all downhill from here. Well, we know that a 50, 60, 70-year-old person was not playing in the Super Bowl here a few weeks ago. Our bodies do get old, and there are many things that we can't do that once we did do. Some of us don't handle retirement very well. I am one of the first to admit that it has been a rather difficult struggle for me. I don't like this idea of having to go to the bleachers and watch others play the game. Sometimes I can feel myself saying, well, is it all downhill from here? When a person loses his or her spouse, and they have been so intimately related to one another, they can adopt the attitude, it's all downhill from here. Whatever the circumstances that might cause you and me to feel that way, in a text today, our Lord makes it very clear that it does not have to be all downhill from here. This is one of the great truths that is gleaned from our text today, which is pregnant with so many wonderful thoughts that we could preach on this for a solid week. Take a look at this blind man. Jesus was walking along the road, and here was this man who had been blind from birth. He was a beggar. When the disciples looked at him, they asked the question, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents? You see, they were living with this idea that whenever there was something like blindness or paralysis of one kind or another, it was always tied to a particular sin. And then God, in the person of Jesus Christ, said to them, don't you understand? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but God is going to use this in order that he can bring glory to his kingdom. He's going to use it. Many times we get the question, well, why did God do this to me? God did not do this to you. But God can take evil and use it for good. And that's what he's doing in this particular case. Here is a man, then, who has never seen the light of day. The question is, who healed him? The Pharisees were very, very concerned. And so they came with that question, who really healed you? And the blind man who now was healed said, it was one by the name of Jesus. He anointed my eyes with mud, and then he told me to go and wash, and I washed and I was able to see. Well, when did it happen? And the Pharisees were able to figure out that Jesus healed this blind man on the Sabbath day. That couldn't be. No person of God would ever heal on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine it, friend? Taking some ritualistic law and saying that that took precedent over healing a person who had been born blind? They then went to the parents and they said, do you know, we can't believe this. Probably he never was blind. But if he were, who healed him? Or was he born blind? Or is this just something that we had thought? And the parents said this, very interesting. He was born blind. He's been blind from his birth. I know that, the father could have said, but I don't know who healed him. However, the healed man is standing right over there. He's of age. Why don't you go and ask him? Kind of interesting, isn't it? You see, the parents were very afraid, for they had heard it said that whoever said that Jesus Christ had healed him would be thrown out of the synagogue, and that was very, very serious in their lives. So a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man that you say has healed you is a sinner. And then the blind man came forth with this tremendous confession, and I believe that it is the core of the text. he said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." And with those words, he was thrown out of the synagogue. When our Lord Jesus heard about this, he came to him very, very quickly. And he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man went on to say, "Who is he, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "You have now seen him. He is the one who is speaking to you." And at that time, this person, who had been physically healed, received Jesus Christ, and the second miracle appeared. His spiritual eyes were opened. Two marvelous miracles. The first healing of a physical nature was a tremendous blessing to this man. For the first time in his life, he could look into the eyes of his mother, the one who had borne him, the one who had cared for him and had given him extra treatment because he was blind. Now he could look at his father, who had spoken to him so kindly, but often with authority that gave him security. "This is my father, this is my mother, I've never seen them before." And while the Bible doesn't say anything about it, we can believe that this person had siblings. And they had worked with him. They had played with him in ways that only they could play with a blind man. Now he could take a look at them and say, "I want to thank you as I look into your face for the wonderful things that you have done for us, what you have done for our family in being good to me, but more than that, what you have done to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you." And then he could sit on the porch in the evening, and he could watch the sun go down. He had never seen the sunset. He could look into the heavens in the morning, and he could see the sun come up. His skin had felt the scorching heat that came from the sun. Now he could see what the sun looked like. No, we can't belittle this healing. We can't say, "Well, that was very insignificant." Not at all. Now he could go and live a very normal life. But here comes the second healing. When his spiritual eyes are open, there he meets the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees this person who has anointed the eyes and gave him physical sight. But more than that, he saw the person who gave him a look at himself, a person who could cause him to say, "You know, this is who you are. You're born with a sinful nature. You commit sins. But today, I have opened your eyes to show you where there is such a thing as a forgiveness of sin." You know, people, there are many who walk about with 20/20 physical vision, perfect. But the spiritual eyes are not open. They really don't have an understanding of themselves. They don't really know who they are. And they don't know Jesus as their dearest friend. They don't understand what the grace of God is all about, that God in Jesus Christ has come into this world, paid the price for their sins at the cross, been raised again, and offers each one of them his tremendous grace. There is a lot to be said for the church reaching out to those people who live in the midst of darkness. Why do some people act as they act? Why all of these terrible behavior problems that we have? We live in darkness, and our eyes have to be open to know what God can do for us, that we are not to ignore our state, nor are we to rationalize our sins, but we are to confess them. Confess them and know what our mission in life is really all about. That God has still got something for us to do. From a physical point of view, we probably reach a point where it is downhill all the way. As we said in the beginning, we say again, the body can wear out. And thank God that we live in this age of medical science where they can take us into the hospitals and patch us up. They can give us a new heart, they say, at least in a transplant, so they can fix up the old one that we have. Marvelous things are being done to help people who would otherwise be destined to die for all kinds of illnesses. I saw a lady the other day. She was about ready to die until her son gave her a kidney. And now she's on top of it, running around as if nothing had ever happened. Sure, that can go on for a little while. But eventually we have to say, well, I do have to go into the bleachers. I do have to sit back. And I do have to look at those who are now in charge. Not too many months ago, I had lunch with a very dear friend who was somewhat concerned about what was going on in the congregation where he was a member, where he is a member. He said, you know, I have sat through the years of my childhood and then on into the early years of my life and of mature manhood. And I have marveled at all the wonderful things that the leaders of our church have done. But now I am a man 40, and it's my time. It's my time to act in that church. It's my time to take on the leadership. And then he looked at me, when do you suppose, he said, that those who are now older will let us have our chance? I don't think he was speaking just directly to me. I think he was trying to express himself that he wanted to get going. He had the energy. He had the zeal. He had the conviction. Sure, it's time for some of us who are older to say, you know, we'll go and sit in the bleachers. God has given us our time. But while we sit in the bleachers, there is still something that we can do. And it is not right that from now on, it's all downhill. Some of the most precious moments that people have had have been in those closing days of their lives, when they could be used by God to do things that perhaps no other person could do because they've had all of this experience. Just look around and find out what God wants you to do until you breathe your last breath. From a spiritual point of view, it is never true that it's all downhill from here. For the longer we walk with the Lord Jesus, the stronger we become in our faith, and the more we experience His faithfulness, the more secure we are. That's the way that it was with the healed man in our text, and that's the way it is with all who live each day in a personal relationship with God. Amen.
In my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now.
Father in heaven, help us to understand that when we become yours, we are yours for all eternity. Help us to understand that that means that we can serve you as long as we're on this earth, only to enter our heavenly home and to serve in the church triumphant. Forgive us where we have thought that there is nothing for us to do. Forgive us, O God, whether we're young or old. When we have reasoned, it is all downhill from here. Bring us the gospel of Christ that tells us that our sins can be forgiven. Give us the strength to know that while physically we may be weak, we can be spiritually strong. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message brought you comfort and joy. Christian Crusaders is dependent on gifts from our listeners to buy radio time on 32 stations across the nation. Many of you are GEM Club members. GEM, G-E-M, stands for Gift Every Month. These gifts, large or small, give us a steady income to pay our radio bills each month. We thank each of our faithful GEM donors. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available on our website for you to read, print, or forward to a friend. The last few programs can be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.